Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoldBoxMedia.com with your host.
If the laws of physics no longer apply in the future, God help you.
The oh-so-sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional proton particle emitter. New tower.
From the desert plains of Tatooine to the 2D grasslands. You know what? That always gets me. That 2D grasslands always messes with my tongue. It's just like, no, I can't get it. Blah, blah, blah. This is Boxheads here on CodeBoxMedia.com. Thank you all for tuning in. Much, much welcome to everyone here. Joining in me in the e-virtual studio is Kat. Hello, Kat.
Hi.
Hello. Oh, I messed that intro up so bad, but whatever. It's okay. Live radio.
Sorry,
so
you caught me while I was getting my
your
hot
tea.
Chocolate.
Wait. You're drinking tea and hot chocolate?
I got hot chocolate instead. You know, I'm jealous because of the snow thing, so I have to have my hot chocolate.
Gotcha. You know, hot chocolate makes me sweat. Like, I don't know why. It's when I drank it, I just sweat. So I'm like, this is terrible. So I can't drink it while I'm gaming because my mouse will fly off and hit my wife or something.
Well,
so.
You know what? This is a wonderful reason why we have a virtual studio, because I don't think I could sit next to you while you're sweating.
Probably. No. I wouldn't want you to. That'd be creepy. Yeah. Anyway. How was your week?
It was slow. You know, this week is going by very slow because we just found out that we're going to be relocating. So I'm looking forward to where we're relocating, and the months just can't go by fast enough. I'm really looking excited. So if you're a listener in the Delaware area, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, New Jersey area, please email me, because I'd love to know some of the great things that go on there and some of the gaming, and get me involved in some of those little tech industries up there.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
Now, are you flying or driving?
Dude, I have such a fear of flying. Isn't that horrible?
See, that's okay. No, I do too. I can't stand heights. You should see my wife trying to get me on a roller coaster. I scream like a small girl. Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm just like, yeah! It's terrible. It's bad. So you're driving, huh?
I am, and actually, it's going to be a little family vacation to begin with. You know, well, you're in the middle of moving, you might as well make the best of it. So we're going to make some stops here and there, and
well,
head
cool.
over to Hershey Park.
You should totally stop by and pay me a visit, since going to Ohio is literally in your path.
You know, that is true. We should try to do that and get together. Maybe have bring your wife along, and we'll have some lunch or dinner or something. Just as long as you're not sweating.
Yeah, don't worry. I won't be sweating. I won't be drinking hot chocolate. Oh, well, my week's been interesting. I got into Dota 2 beta. I've been playing the crap out of that. Loving every minute of it. It's great once this game releases. You probably won't hear from me in a couple months. So I'll just be down in the basement going, I'm going to beat Possum. Yeah, I mean, it's the game is actually pretty awesome. So we'll talk about that later on. We got a lot of cool news stories, and our segments coming up are going to be awesome. This week, we're going to do some new segments. We're going to have another Family Game of the Week for you, and totally off the wall, and a actually good WTF segment for you this time. I know, shocking. Baz is not pissed. It's a rare occasion. I understand that. But, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure and also your interviewing pleasure, we have a special guest on with us today. His name is Scott, and he is from Digital Tech Frontier and Popar Toys. Scott, sir, how are you?
Hello, team.
Hello.
Hey guys, I'm doing great. I love the intro. I think the new phrase needs to be gaming, drinking, and sweating.
Okay.
There you go.
That's great.
There you go.
Love the concept, and I'm definitely going to be sending you some Christmas presents. We're going to get some things on my list already for you, so I have to check if you've been naughty or nice here, if you've gamed well. But thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for taking
time
out.
We are so glad to have you.
Yes, we are. Virtual reality is awesome. It's something that I've always wanted for it to be like a thing, like Star Trek, like one of those little hologram rooms that they have. But we're not there yet, but you guys are close. I mean, you guys are so close. I can feel it.
It's like Occam's razor. We're keep getting closer and closer, and sometimes it feels like we're getting farther away. But I think the technology is finally merging correctly. Processing speed, mobile applications, and imaginations. So we're getting there.
Awesome.
That's
very
great.
Cool.
It would be wonderful to have one of those virtual reality holograms. I wouldn't have to smell Baz's sweat.
That's going to be the running joke of the whole show. Wonderful. Oh, that's great. But,
well, you know, it's funny you bring up sweat. We do virtual scent systems.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. So we could produce the scent of bats.
That's awesome.
That is so interesting. Not that I really want that. But
yeah, I mean,
there's a much better smell.
Yeah, but that's cool. Like,
yeah.
Like it. Okay, you know, now I'm curious. How does this work?
It's a synthetic aroma system that's attached to a serial or a USB on a computer, and we can time release scents throughout an experience. Most people see this inside of Disney and theme parks, but it can be used for multiple applications. We came up with it years ago for entertainment venues. It was licensed for Disney as well. And now we're obviously using it for therapy purposes. You can do it with video games. A little bit more cost prohibitive. It's not an acceptable technology. It's not always a good thing to smell burning rubber and explosions. it's more for a strawberry shortcake game than anything else. But at the moment, like you said, it is more probably a novelty item than a utility item. It's cost prohibitive, but for large entertainment applications, a synthetic scent technology is very applicable. We want to use, in virtual realities, many of the senses as possible. Sight, sound, touch, smell. More of those you can hit, the more experiential your experience is.
That is
amazing. That, you know, actually, while we're talking about that, for our listeners, why don't you go ahead and tell them a little bit about what Digital Tech Frontier is. I know we've mentioned the virtual reality. Tell us a little bit more about what your company does and what the goals are.
Well, my company, Digital Tech Frontier, over the last, say, 15 years, have been an imagination factory. We have taken other people's ideas and made them a reality, whether they be NASCAR simulators for General Motors or animating Legos, making video games for Nokia, to bringing products to some of the major corporations across America. My job is to take this imagination everybody has and truly make it a reality through hardware and software and the melding of both of those to make a truly experiential product, whether it be virtual reality for education, video gaming for the auto show in New York. So we've spent the last 15 years really honing our abilities here as engineers and software developers, combining the best of both worlds to take Disney, in a sense, on the road and into homes and into trade shows and into showrooms across America. And we've been very blessed the last few years to really get some great projects. And we found ourselves really at the forefront of technology and innovation.
Awesome.
That is amazing.
Awesome.
It's a big boys toy factory. It's great.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's Mythbusters on steroids, to be honest with you. I mean, I mean, from just the sounds of it, like you sound like you love your job and you're just like all for it, and that's awesome. I love that.
Who can't love a job that has skee ball and pinball, Legos at the conference table, video games everywhere? It's truly a dream come true for an adult who really still wants to be a kid.
Sign me up. I did a Lego conference table. That's that's awesome. I mean, come on.
If you have an adult sit at a conference table like that, it's great. They take apart the Legos and they build their own things while they're talking to you. It really takes an older adult who comes in as a CEO, and it really takes them down from an intellectual level and makes them playful. And I think that's where the best imagination and ideas come from.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's right.
I know for me with my ADHD, I would build like a huge wall or something and be like, look at me, I have my own fort of awesome.
Yes.
Going back to the virtual smell stuff, that's what I'm going to call it because that's just, you know, it makes more sense in my head if I call it virtual smell stuff. Is there a technical name for it? Is there like a scientific
It's a synthetic aroma technology.
Okay, smell stuff sounds way easier
virtual,
to say first.
Virtual smell is much cooler.
There you go. Virtual smell. There you go. That's awesome.
He's on his Lego kick here, so you got to talk to him on Lego level.
hey, now, come on. Legos are awesome. Now, could this actually be implemented like with games, say, like Mass Effect or like just games that would be more of an RPG style base? Is that something that is possible in the near future?
It's not going to be possible in the near future because the expense behind it is really not cost. It's cost prohibitive for the industry.
Okay.
You've got to find technology that somebody's willing to fork out for the experience that they're going to have. It's better on a mass consumer level, like a Disney ride or shopping mall. So.
Cool. Well, you know.
I know. You want the smells.
He does.
Well, it would be I think it would be cool to see, you know, Shepard eating an apple, and all of a sudden you smell an apple or something, and you're like, whoa, that's cool. Like, where'd that come from? But how did you come up with Digital Tech Frontier? Like, how was this something that was started?
Started back in college. I think we all have these great dreams in college to be able to create our own path. And early on in college, I had met an engineer, and we had started to look at virtual reality and the gaming applications to it back in the 90s. And we started working in that realm and really found a love for the technology, things like head-mounted displays, stereoscopic imaging, real-time polygons, 3D sound. And as we started getting into the gaming applications, we found a fascination both for training as well as military applications. And I found in the next few years that my applicability really was in the training and the entertainment. And his passion was more the military simulation end of it. So a few years later, we parted our ways, and I started Digital Tech Frontier with the idea that I was going to bring training and entertainment to the forefront with virtual reality. First company that we worked with was General Motors, and we built NASCAR simulators for them that toured the country. It was great to work with NASCAR and build simulators that the race car drivers would sit in before they actually got onto the field. I felt like I was a part of that race. And that's what gaming is all about, feeling like you're part of something. And that can be a multitude of different things, from social gaming to hands-on, realistic, you know, you've got motion graphics, you've got stereoscopic imaging, you've got simulators where actually give you the sensation of the G-forces. The closer you can get to that realistic experience, the more involved you are. And that's what really drove me to start the company, giving people an experience that blurred the reality from the augmented or fantasy. We want to get as close to that experience as possible and give somebody a good experience at the same time.
Right. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Definitely.
How realistic is that NASCAR simulator, by the way?
I can give you up to 2.5 G's of acceleration and less than 2 inches of movement. You'll get out of it with your knuckles turning white. You'll feel some tension in your muscles. It's fantastic because that's what you would do on the road. You'd actually grip the wheel. You'd feel the rubber touching the road. It feels as if you are actually driving the car. You're getting the G's and the acceleration on it. You know, yaw, pitch, and roll.
Is the G-force, is that simulated or is that actually something that? Okay.
Yeah. We've actually put electric actuators, into the platforms themselves. So when you turn left, the whole car shifts left.
Oh, wow.
Turn right, the whole car shifts right. Press on the brakes too hard, you're flying forward. Yeah.
Wow.
And so if you're ever at a NASCAR race, take a check out at Toyota. We actually have our NASCAR simulator that's traveling the country right now. Go by the Toyota booth and sit in the Baja 1000 simulator. It's the same simulator we used for NASCAR, but they're allowing patrons of NASCAR races to actually experience it.
That's awesome. Very, very cool.
It's very cool. So, but if you come here, you know, to my office, I'll give you a ride yourself.
Now, the way that you have developed this technology, now, my husband is actually a C-130 engineer, so he, you know, does a lot of the simulators with Lockheed Martin sitting in there. Is that similar to what the programs that you're using and the technology and the equipment that you're using for your NASCAR and other virtual reality equipment? Is that kind of what it's like?
it's very similar, but they've got a much bigger budget to play with. So they probably
have a lot more than
we do. Tell him if he has any excess net budget to send him over our way. We'll turn the C-130 simulators into TIE Fighter simulators. You know, just turn it around, send it back. Might be a little bit of a different simulator when they're done with it. But it's very similar technology. Sometimes they use pneumatics or hydraulics. We use electric actuators. They have a lot more cycles through them than a pneumatic or a hydraulic simulator do. So.
Right, right. Now, what if somebody were to want to try this out? What do they require specific equipment? Do they have to buy specific equipment for this?
They do, and that's where, you know, in the past last 15 years, we realized that a lot of our technology were only in the hands of large companies. We had this great technology, these great, fantastic human interface designs that gave people a really fantastic experience. Where can we reach the consumer? Where can we reach, you know, the 15-year-old kid down the street who wants to have that? And it's where our books, Top Our Books, really came into play, that we started to understand that we could take our experience in making these experiential adventures, whether it be a NASCAR simulator or a 3D Lego adventure that not everyone got to see, and make it a mass consumer product for someone to have. And so it is not something that everyone would actually get that chance to have. So that's what we did in the last few years. We readjusted our company from a large Fortune 500 applicable company to a consumer company, and that's where our current products are based.
Awesome. You know, just kind of a quick note for our listeners here. If you guys have any questions for Scott, you guys are more than welcome to call in the show, and Kat will be more than welcome to screen your call and just kind of make sure you're not going to ask a question that shouldn't be asked. Phone number to get a hold of the show here is 347-838-9713. And just kind of wait on the line. We're still kind of new to this whole studio thing, so just bear with us, and we will answer your call as soon as possible. And I'm sure Scott will be more than willing to answer any unembarrassing questions about himself.
Anything besides Bandcamp, I'm good.
Yes, Bandcamp. or Bandit Camp, for those of you Warcraft 3 fans that know what I'm talking about. Yes, nostalgia. It's a wonderful thing. Scott, I'm curious. Virtual reality, is that still something that's, you know, you put on like a goofy-looking hat and you walk around and you hit your grandma and you trip over stairs? For now, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that something that maybe could be honed into maybe those, you know, like glasses type of things, or the 3D goofy looking glasses, or are the components for that still too large to be on a micro scale?
Well, the micro scale is coming. The ability to be able to translate that information to wear sunglasses, reading glasses, even contact lenses is coming down the pipeline.
Whoa.
So those days, of having a heads-up display that has to be tied to a computer, you don't have to be tethered anymore. You know, you've got some really neat toys coming down the pipeline that will give the users an ability to see what's on their mobile phone without even picking up their mobile phone. This is where the context of virtual reality truly becomes augmented reality. As we look into the universe and into the real world, there's information that is there at our fingertips. We currently use our phones to access that information, whether it be a map or scores or finding out some information about a product we're looking at. What happens if we wouldn't have to look down at our phone anymore? And we could truly look through that contact lens and see a head-mounted display and augment our reality with our friends from Facebook for the nutritional ingredients at something from Starbucks, to be able to play a game while you're on the subway without having to look down at a device. These are things that are coming, and this is why we've entered this industry of augmented reality and realizing that the lines between something that is real, which we see into the universe, and something that is augmented, that information, can be pulled in. We've got the information. It's just right now it's on our phones. It's on Google. It's in the space. But let's take it so that we can actually utilize it in our real world.
Awesome.
That is amazing, because and that leads me to my question about dealing with augmented reality. Last week we spoke with Able Gamers Foundation, And some of the mission that they have to help disabled gamers be able to work, you know, kind of play with the regular other players that don't have disabilities as well. The industry has really grown, and it's flourishing. With the 3D virtual reality, the augmentation, that could actually help out as well. How far are we to enable them, the disabled gamers, work without having to use their hands? And, you know, you had mentioned the synthetic aroma and so forth. How far do you think we are with virtual reality where they can just move their head and, you know, move a certain direction in a video game or smell something or even touch? I mean, I know we might be far from that, but that's an enhancement to the disabled gamer as well.
I think the disabled gamers are going to find some great appreciation over the next few years with some enhancements for current games that are out there. It is not something we're approaching yet at the current moment, but it is definitely something that is on the cusp of giving them a reality to play those games like World of Warcraft and be able to embrace some of the higher level games that take more button presses than just having to move around a 3D environment. It'll take some time for them to reach applicable stages where consumers can actually see them and buy them, and they're feasible to purchase. Anything that's produced in the labs that we're creating is still too expensive for the mass consumer, but the technology is there for them to be able to grasp some unique applications for gaming that's, you know, currently not there. So we should see some great things coming down the pipeline that allow more gamers to hit the field from a variety of diverse backgrounds and abilities.
Definitely. And you're starting off with the younger generations now and getting them involved with it through the toys. And that includes the books and the smaller games as well. Am I correct?
Yeah, we wanted to start out young. We wanted to see the technology and have it embraced by some of the younger generation. We feel that they're a little bit easier to have an opportunity to embrace any type of unique technology. They're being brought up with playing with an iPad to having a mobile phone put in their hands at a very young age and being able to scroll through the information and play with an Angry Birds application very simply at an age that I never would have thought could have been appreciative to playing these games, understanding them, and seeing what a high score is and getting that feedback from their friends from social gaming. And so we figured they're ripe and ready for an opportunity to take a book that they're getting in school anyways, that they're approaching, that they're getting a nighttime book read to them, that they're going to want to have their imagination take it to the next level. They're going to want a rocket to launch out of their book. They're going to want butterflies flying off the page. They want to be able to capture this information, not just in their head, but they want to see it and experience it. They want to read it, they want to see it, and they want to be it. And that's what our books do.
I don't know about you guys, but I want butterflies and rockets flying out of my books. I mean, that would be cool. I mean, like reading like a Lord of the Rings book or something, and you almost get shot with an arrow or something. That would be so cool.
Yes,
I mean, that would be awesome. I mean, I actually just watched Treasure Planet last night with my wife, and in the beginning of the movie, he was reading a book that had like these four little projectors on it, and was projecting pretty much like a story out of the book. And so, you know what you're talking about. That's what I'm thinking of. I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit more complex than that, but that would be awesome. One of the implications this will really work for people is people that are blind, that they can finally, you know, read books or listen to books without having to learn the Braille stuff that they teach. I think that would be awesome. That would be a really, really neat use for that as well.
There is some retinal technology out there that would allow certain individuals of blindness to be able to start to see. Technology is allowing an image to be placed on their retina. Through a projector system that's attached to their glasses. As of current, it's only in black and white, but it's allowing certain individuals with those disabilities to see an image that normally they've never been able to see before. And so we're getting to the point where we're being able to overcome some of those hurdles and appreciate some of the lines of technology being able to literally give people that concept of sight without having been able to see before. And it's a really good implication, and there's so many different uses of the technology.
That is awesome.
It is.
Scott, how would schools contact you in order to get this new technology?
Well, easy way to contact me would be our website, which is poparrtoys.com, poparrtoys.com. And we also have an educational division, which is incredibly cool. Imagine playing with molecules or dressing up as Abraham Lincoln in school and only using little markers to do so. And that's our augmented reality development lab. And we'll be more than happy to, you know, handle inquiries both from schools and for parents and kids wanting to experience anything dealing with augmented or virtual reality to entertain or educate.
Awesome. Would you classify, like, you know, the Wii or maybe the PlayStation Move or even the Kinect is a type of virtual reality type of technology, or is that more just motion tracking?
Combination of both. I think poor virtual reality since the 90s, since Lawnmower Man and, you know, Tron and a lot of the classic movies that have come out, it really has gotten a bad rap. Everybody anticipated and expected virtual reality to change our lives. We'd
right.
be sucked into a computer and we'd have this amazing experience. And if you're like me and a lot of your listeners, I've been let down. And that's truly why I started the company.
Well,
I've been let down. And the closest thing to a virtual experience that I've gotten, you know, has been video games and Disney. And I want to combine both of them together.
Okay.
And so my company was created so that, you know, my children and people that are with me in this industry will not be disappointed with augmented reality or virtual reality from the products that we build. I want to blur the reality between what people expect, what they see in a Hollywood movie, to the actual experience that they're getting at home and in movie theaters and in theme parks.
Right, right. And in fact, the toys that you're developing now and that work with the augmented reality, literally, and I'm taking this from personal experience, because my son has autism, and he is a very visual individual.
Mm-hmm.
He learns best by seeing, touching, you know, anything that has to do with the senses, and especially visually, he will grasp what the teachers and the educators are saying to him. When you put those together, I can see at the educational system the academic increasing in the children. I can see these children who are you know, getting bored with their school and their grades aren't doing that great. I can see that increasing when you have augmented reality attached to their textbooks or their learning materials. I mean, that is a big step for the educational system.
Huge step. I mean, one of the most promising aspects of augmented reality is that it can be used for visual and highly interactive forms of learning. It allows for that overlay of data onto the real world to simulate dynamic processes. If you think about it, it responds to user input, both from a video game standpoint as well as an autistic standpoint. You've got kinesthetic learners out there. You've got people who learn by doing rather than just being force-fed that information. Our system is set up in a sense that we need to start to understand and grow into that augmented reality can enhance the current textbooks that are out there, the current reading materials, and give the ability for these learners who are so needing the information, they're wanting the information, to be able to learn, keep up, and excel. And that's where it really succeeds.
Awesome. For someone who has really, really bad ADHD and I'm dyslexic, to hell, or excuse me, less distic. Yeah, I have to get that right. If I could have that as a kid, that would be awesome.
I agree.
My mom had to homeschool me. She had to take me out halfway through third grade because my grades were just terrible, and the teachers couldn't understand why isn't he learning? And we later found out I was special, as my mom called it. And
we're all special.
Oh, I know, but man, I am a super kind of special. It's yeah. Anyway, It is just one of those things that I think that is very overlooked because, you know, people are like, well, you know, he's just a bad kid because he gets bad grades, or he's just a troublemaker because he can't focus in school. And it's just like, well, maybe the problem isn't the kid himself, but maybe the problem is just him absorbing the information and just kind of getting, okay, here's all this, there's a test on it tomorrow, and no one explains anything. And, you know, I think that's how a lot of schools kind of teach stuff. I mean, you know, certain teachers have their way with students, and there's a lot of good teachers out there. But I think there are certain aspects of teaching where you can't give that student the individual time that they need to say, hey, I have a question. Can you explain this problem? And you know this explanation is going to take 45 minutes. You only have 30 minutes per class. And yep. I think that, you know, the book application, as you mentioned earlier, would just be amazing because kids could sit down and say, okay, well, I want to learn about this, and they would touch something on the book or do something, and the book would say, hey, here's a three-hour explanation on this one math problem, and they could go over it, review parts, and I think that would be – that's just an amazing idea. And
I think you've hit it. I mean, technology, PopR especially, is an active, not a passive technology.
Mm-hmm.
A regular textbook is passive. We go home. We play video games, we go home, we change the channel, we get on our phones, we search for information. This is active. We are wanting to involve ourselves with the data sets, wanting to involve ourselves with the questions and answers that we have. Our school systems are evolving slowly towards this concept because we've got students who are yearning to learn, like yourself and like me, but we learn at a different pace through different understanding.
Yeah.
And we've got to make it active learning so that when the kid is ready to raise his hand, that information is there. And we can do that through augmented reality. When a kid doesn't understand gravity or physics, rather than raising their hand, they can bring a paddle in and say, oh, if I can keep doing this over, okay, now I get this. I get that. The sun is 109 times bigger than the Earth. Well, you can't really do that by a textbook. But if I give you an example of a globe on a paddle, and you can bring it in with another globe on a paddle, and you can see the difference between 109 times. And you go, oh, wow, we're really that small. Or I can start to understand diameter and circumference.
Right.
And I can play with my information. It's not just a data set that's a bunch of numbers on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
We don't give students enough credit. They're compartmentalized quickly because we've only got one or two learning modalities at their fingertips. The idea is to empower, engage, and immerse in information.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers are fantastic tools, and we need to give them more tools to be able to educate and allow these students to learn at their own paces.
Oh, I definitely agree. Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, one of my favorite games growing up as a kid was Math Blaster. I'm not sure if you guys have ever played this game, but
Love Math Blaster.
This game was awesome because in order to kill enemies and solve puzzles, you had to do math, but you were still playing a video game and shooting bad guys.
Positive reinforcement.
It was just it's like the coolest game in the world. Like to this day, I remember learning my basic math skills from a video game, and it wasn't a textbook. And I mean, you're right. It's just it's all about giving the tools to teachers who already do an amazing job teaching our kids to do it even better and do it in a more just controlled way. And it's just. That's awesome. I mean, what you guys are doing is great. I love it.
We have an idea for a flashcard product. So imagine a kid wanting to learn about our ABCs.
Yeah.
And actually writes the letter A. If she completes the letter A correctly, and A pops out of the flashcard and goes, A is for apple, ants, and aardvarks. And then the teacher can walk by and take a dry erase, and then they remove it off it, and they can do it again. They can keep reinforcing because they want to see the ant and the aardvark pop out of the page.
I want to see the aardvarks. Yeah, are you kidding me? I would go back to coloring if the frickin' lizard thing would pop out of the thing and start running around the walls or something. That'd be great.
Yeah,
or like
I mean,
that'd be awesome.
Future, your imagination is unlimited because we can take that and we can actually pull it out of the pages. Mm-hmm. Those books that we used to read, those choose your own adventures. Imagine how much adventure we now have in the future.
Ability
to have a textbook and a skeleton actually come out, and you can pick apart the fibers of a muscle from your textbook.
That'd be creepy, but cool.
The ability here is not just with kids. It's textbooks to entertainment, to brochures, to marketing pieces. We've got this information at our fingertips. It's being able to actually take and expand that for an experience.
Yeah, you know, the movie that kind of reminds me of this is I, Robot, where like all their technology is all like, or if you even want to go as old school as Star Trek or Star Wars, like a lot of their stuff is just all digital. Like their picture frames are digital. Their TV and their newspapers, they hold up a little thing and it's newspaper and they can scroll through it and things pop up. And yeah, I mean, that stuff is just so cool. And it's like, I honestly had no blasted idea we were actually that close to that kind of technology. I mean, literally, I had no idea, because I always thought virtual reality was just kind of okay, you know, it's virtual reality. But what you guys have done, you guys have taken the, okay, well, Tron's really cool, but people don't care about it. But you're like, no, wait, watch this. And then you're like, hello, look at all the stuff we're doing. And, you know, eventually, once you guys will get to Tron, and I hope you guys contact me about that, because I want to be able to do some discs fights and meet Bit and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you guys are on such an amazing path, and seriously, I wish you guys all the best. I mean, it's awesome.
Definitely.
We're excited. We're converging both the digital and analog worlds together.
Mm-hmm. It's hard describing feelings over the radio, but I have goosebumps, if that helps. And no, they're not popping out of my skin and popping like virtual reality, but you know, I can actually feel them on my arm. So in a way, that's augmented reality. I don't know. That was a horrible example, but I tried. I just like, yeah, we'll go with it. Why not?
All of those blocks.
The more individuals like yourself, the better. We need people to understand we're at the end.
Oh, geez. Yeah, more than one of me. I'm not sure if people could handle that one. Ooh. Yeah, in my wife's shape.
Now, what you're doing is absolutely wonderful. I work with a lot of students in the schools and the school districts with the technology and the advancements that are coming out. And the kids, the way that they're learning now, they're starting from the time that they're 2 years old, and they can, you know, start, you know, seeing the colors and grasping the noises. They're getting on that technology, and it, you know, like you said, whether it's the iPhone, where the mom needs to keep the kid quiet for a little bit while she's at the bank, and she hands them over the iPhone so the kid can play their little games, on through, you know, sticking the little toddler's keyboard on top of our current keyboards and allowing them to press the colors, to something more extravagant. It's they're getting it by the time they're two and up, that generation is going to be raised on this. And I think it's just a wonderful concept. I think what you're doing is wonderful, and you've got my support 100%.
Well, thanks, guys. It means a lot to me. I have a huge respect for you guys and your opinions and your listeners. I'm out there to make a difference and have fun while doing it.
You got to have fun while doing something. I mean, you can't go into, you can't do anything without having fun, because then it's not fun. I mean, that's a horrible pun or metaphor. You really can't do any, you can't not have fun while having fun, if that makes sense.
Correct.
Scott, I'm starting to get a little bit more interested in this stuff just because I didn't know it was this far along. And, you know, I know that some of our listeners and podcast viewers are probably wondering to themselves, well, I want to get more into this. Do you have any do you have any advice for someone who is maybe looking to go to college for this, or just looking to start up? I don't know, like, how can someone get into this kind of quote-unquote career path, or just kind of a hobby, and help promote this augmented reality stuff?
Well, be passionate. I mean, first and foremost, whatever career you go into, whether it be gaming or design, augmented or virtual reality or networking, be extremely passionate about what you're doing. Love what you do so much that it's a hobby as much as it's a career. And the moment you can blur those lines where you're enjoying what you do inside and outside of the office, you become very good at it because you're thinking about it and you're doing it. That's why we've been successful for 15 years. You know, it's not just a job. It's a, you know, it's a lifestyle. The guys who game understand how to make levels. The guys who are making their own background music soundtracks, know how to play instruments.
Yeah.
You've really got to hone your skills by not doing it 9 to 5. You've got to love what you're doing and embrace it. And you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people out there who've got the skill sets who really don't understand that they've got a marketable ability to understand environmental and spatial technologies and how to make levels, how to understand gameplay. Like yourself, Math Blaster, easy example. You know, years later, you still understand that reinforcement, that positive reinforcement for math.
Right.
Find the skill set that you love. Hone your skills. Make it a hobby as well. Put it out there. Put yourself out on forums. Answer questions. Make yourself an industry leader by helping others. And you'd be surprised in this industry how far that goes when you start to answer questions. You're on the forums. You're helping other people out. At some point, you're going to help out somebody like myself, then I'm going to take notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't talk. I'm sorry. Wow. The hobby aspect, I think, is the most important of anything that you do. I mean, it's just, look what Peter Jackson and George Lucas have done. I mean,
yeah.
That was just something that they were passionate about. And I mean, George Lucas is one of the most famous people in the directing and filmmaking industry because he invented half the technology that we have now. I mean, him and Steve Jobs did the Pixar computer. He invented ILM technology and all this other stuff. I mean, and you're trying to push augmented reality because you just love doing it. And it's rewarding you. And this is what CodeBox Media is about. We are here to make sure that everyone understands that passion, hobby, and a career all need to be the same thing. It's not just, oh, hey, well, we're going to be IGN, we're going to review games. Okay, cool, but do you enjoy doing it? Do you enjoy reviewing games, or are you just doing it for the paycheck?
Right, and you can tell the difference between the individuals.
Yeah, you can. I mean, like, just talking with you, you're just like, this is awesome, I love what I'm doing, here's why, and you don't sound robotic. You're not just like, well, I've thought about this and blah, blah, blah. Next question, please. I hate talking to people like that. I'm just like, what? What? It's just your passion is very humbling, and I applaud you, sir. Well done. It's an honor to have you on here because it really kind of reminds me of why I do this. It's so stressful and frustrating at times. I'm just like, why am I doing this? And then I remember, oh, yeah, I love it. But it's mind-blowingly aggravating at times. And I'm sure your job is, too, because you're dealing with technology that's far more advanced than what people are actually understanding. And who cares? You love doing it. And so you just keep doing it. And it pays off. And
I'm hoping it pays off, yes.
Well, no, but see, right now it's paying off because you're making sure that it's getting out there and you're supporting people that are saying, hey, I have this really cool idea. What do you think? And you're like, even if you think it's the stupidest idea in the world, you're going to be like, well, let's try it. I mean, Thomas Edison was asked, well, something about 2,000 times failing a light bulb. And he said, well, no, I didn't fail. I just learned 200 ways not to make a light bulb. And it's just like, I botched that quote, but you guys get the idea. It's just, your passion is just awesome. And I love it. It's great.
You guys are as well. And, you know, we'd love to hear from everybody who's listening. Give us some ideas for future books. Friend us on Facebook. Give us some feedback. We listen to everyone's thoughts as a collective, and you can direct where we're going and where we're making products and gaming by your own feedback.
Awesome.
So please connect with us. We'll be more than happy to connect back with you as well, and we'll share stories and ideas, and we'll get feedback. I'm open to help anybody. So please kick back some feedback, some questions anytime. We're here for you.
Definitely. Yeah. Hey, Scott, before we have to let you go here, do you do the Consumer Electronics seminars in the and the Comdex Internet World, where will we be able to find you during our travels of seminars and technology events?
Well, coming up, I'm going to be actually at the Toy Fair.
Ooh.
In New York City. So you're welcome to come by and stop by. I'm going to be there from the 12th of February to the 16th. We'll be there debuting our new Pop-R products and showcasing what we've got. And around the country, we'll be probably in Italy and in Germany at some other toy fairs. So keep on top of our blogs and our Facebook, and you'll kind of see me pop around the country debuting our new toys and speaking at different events. And please come up and say hi to me. I'd love
awesome.
To talk with you and
definitely.
Hear all your ideas.
Most definitely, guys. Scott, any other information that you would like to give out before we let you go?
No. I think you guys covered it all. I love your program, and I love the
Thank
opportunity
you.
To connect and hear about your ideas and the industry and where it's going. And we appreciate the time and effort for you guys putting in to share the wealth of information you guys have.
Awesome, man.
Well, you're
an
inspiration,
yeah.
Scott. Thanks.
Yeah, you truly are, man. I appreciate it very, very much. And we will talk to you hopefully soon, and good luck in your future endeavors, and God bless, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Oh, that was awesome. I love that man. Hey, that guy was awesome.
You know, brilliant. These are the Einsteins of our time.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's just it's amazing what they're coming up with, and it's they're down to earth, pleasant people who are coming up with these ideas, and they don't even realize how much they're actually helping.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean,
that's a great thing.
I mean, his answers were just so humble. It was ridiculous. I was just like, I think he knows how much of a difference he's making, but it's the people like him that say, you know what, I don't really deserve any of the credit because I'm just doing what I love. And from what he sounds like he's just doing it because he loves it. And if he fails, at least he tried. And
yep.
I mean, it's awesome. People like that, there needs to be more people like that are just kind of pushing the forefront of technology. Because, I mean, that's how we landed on the moon, unless you believe Transformers because it was a space race for Optimus Prime or something. But, I mean, that's how we landed on the moon. That's how the light bulb was invented. That's how the phonograph was invented. That's how the printing press was invented. People saying, hey, this is a cool idea. Let's try it. And they fail
yep.
a bunch of times, and they finally get it, and we still use light bulbs. I mean, I'm looking at one right now. It's bright, and it's hurting my eyes. It's a light bulb, and it's just, oh my gosh, his passion was just awesome. I loved it, but guys,
well, I'll tell you what, I'd love to get my hands on one of those toys. That just
oh, I know
they're amazing. PopArtToys.com.
Mm-hmm.
Is the website for the toys. If you're a gaming parent and you want to start getting your little ones into some of the virtual reality, and then digitaltechfrontier.com is the website if you want to learn a little bit more about augmented reality.
Awesome, awesome. Well, guys, we have approximately 11 minutes left in the show, so we're going to quickly hit up some of the segments that we have this week. And Kat, which one would you like to do first? I'll let you pick.
Actually, I'd like to talk a little bit about in the news, what's going on within the news. There's just a couple of things I want to go over, because most of the news that we have, you can kind of go to www.codeboxmedia.com and look at what we have up there. Some great information. We got some really good press releases out this week.
Yeah.
And right now I want to talk about Star Wars The Old Republic,
mm-hmm.
that's in the news. And just briefly, I know we always touch base on this, but this was just 6 weeks after launch, one of the most anticipated games. BioWare continues to set new standards in the online games with Star Wars The Old Republic. Already the fastest growing subscription ever. Yes, MMO ever.
Socket Blizzard.
Old Republic. Has sold over 2 million copies with a thriving base of over 1.7 million active subscribers.
Damn.
And yes, and I have to admit I am one of those.
Oh, my
God. But The servers are being available for more than 99.5% of the time outside the scheduled maintenance. And the next game update feature, with new game systems and additional guild features, finally.
And UI improvement. Yay, so excited for customizable
for release
UI.
In spring of 2012.
That needs to be sooner because I'm so sick of looking at the UI that I'm like, I can't see anything. What? Yeah, grr.
You're right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So,
and in,
oh my gosh, my ears, your mic just like screamed at me.
It's the beer.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure. It's definitely the beer playing mental and audible tricks on me.
Well, when you say somebody's loud and you're staring at a light bulb, it's the beer.
Hey, I wasn't staring at it. I was looking at the lamp, so I would shut up.
And in the news as well, Pocket God. There's plenty to celebrate in the dangerous universe, that Pocket God. And now there's even more. Ape Entertainment, Bolt Creative, and Iverse Media are pleased to announce that Pocket God Comic was recently chosen as the best comic app of 2011 for iOS readers.
Awesome.
It's its fourth year of awards with the goal of honoring the best, not just the best-selling, but the best app ever award, accumulating more than 1.5 million users.
Wow, that's awesome. Very, very nice. That's cool. Wonderful news this week. Everyone, it is time for my favorite segment.
You know what burns my ass? The flame about this high.
Yeah. But it's okay, guys. It's a good WTF segment. Real quickly, I got into Dota 2 beta. It's awesome. And literally, I was thinking, WTF, why is this game so good? I played it for the first time last night, and I got to play my favorite hero, Priestess of the Moon, which, for those of you who don't know, she rides on a tiger and shoots arrows. And for those of you who'd like a reference, she's a lot like Ashe from League of Legends. Han, don't give a crap about because it's a crappy game. And it's a complete ripoff. So, screw you, Han. But Dota 2 is amazing, guys. Add me on Steam. It's just Bazeel, B-A-Z-E-L-E-E-L. Add me, and I would love to play games with you guys. I normally play in the midnight hours since I am on third shift. So every time I'm hosting a public game, I'll put it on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. So just kind of keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, it was great. I was very impressed with Dota 2, and I will be purchasing the game when it comes out. I believe it's supposed to come out either sometime in Christmas this year or sometime next year. But yeah, it'll be a very, very good, very, very good, very goodness. Kat, we have 7 minutes left. Which segment would you like to fill for the last 7 minutes? I know we still have yet to get to that announcement. So why don't we cover that first, and then whatever time we have left, we will go over.
Yeah, actually, if you've gone to our website, you probably know this already. If you have us on Facebook, you probably know this already as well. But for those of you who don't and who are avid listeners, we are holding our first ever CodeBox Media iHeart CodeBox Valentine's Day contest, and you can go to our website to try to win yourself an iPod Nano. So it's cherry red, and it's very cute, and it's perfect for the Valentine's Day contest. Just go to www.codeboxmedia.com, and there's several ways that you could win. Subscribe to us on different venues. It can be, what do we have there, Baz? Facebook, Twitter.
The venues that you're going to be able to subscribe to us on are Facebook, Twitter, our newsletter, our podcast. That just means follow our podcast. Subscribe to our newsletter. It's the newsletter, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and podcast. Yeah, those are the ways you can enter to win an iPod Nano. For those of you who might have missed that when Kate was talking, because sometimes you guys don't listen, and that's very bad. You guys should have drawn out people's voices. That's just, I mean, I know I'm such a good person to listen to, and I have such a sweet, calm, smoothing voice, but
when he drinks,
shut up. but you know, guys, this is the first contest that we're holding, so we're hoping to really just kind of let you guys know that we're not just doing this just for the heck of it. We're doing this because we want to give you guys stuff, and we like it. It's fun. It's fun to give away prizes to people. So if you want an iPod Nano and then tell your girlfriend slash wife that you bought it for her, that's fine too. If she listens to the show, you're probably screwed, and she'll know about it, and she'll probably, you know, do something.
Herself?
Yeah, yeah. She'll probably be like, oh, I won that too, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. I mean,
that's right. But it's really easy to enter. I mean, that's all you have to do, and you can enter several times. So just subscribe to us on our different channels, and you've got yourself an entry. And then we will be announcing who the winner is at the end of the month, and hopefully it's you.
Yes, yes. And you're probably wondering why the end of the month. That way it gives people time to actually subscribe and tell their friends and say, hey, you want to win a chance to win an iPod Nano that's red and awesome? Here you go. So, you know, you could give your wife or girlfriend a card that says, hey, your iPod Nano's on back order. Happy Valentine's Day. But I'm horrible with words, apparently. That was just like, that sounded like the worst Valentine's Day card ever. Hey, happy Valentine's Day, honey. Your card's on back order. Love you. Happy Valentine's Day.
That's as bad as somebody asking, honey, it's our anniversary today. What did you get me? Oh, I ordered it. It's going to be 2 weeks before shipping.
Wow. I actually think the studio's messing up because you keep going in and out and, like, gargling. It sounds like you're gargling salt water sometimes, but that's okay.
Really? Now it's me. Last week it was you sounding very low.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, technical difficulties, and it's okay. It happens. But real quickly, why don't we go into a short version?
Beware, I live.
And now it's time for totally off the wall. I'm gonna go cry in a corner. See, the soundbite did it too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it might just be my connection and hearing it play back, since I'm streaming twice. But
that's
That's okay.
Totally off the wall. Well, this one, hold on to your seats. This one is called Busen Memo, which is also in English. It's called Booby Match.
Okay, seriously, come on. So far, we've had like a creepy, I don't know, screwing game with penguins, if I remember right, last week. And then the first week was like a rape game or something. And then this game's about boobies. I mean, can you find a totally off the wall game that doesn't involve sexual things?
Are the totally off the wall games that I have been finding. And this one is actually this one is actually Dutch.
Oh, it's not German anymore. Okay, good.
No, this one is Dutch. It's from, the artist is Lidwin Steinbrink. And it requires a number of two people. And if you've played the game Memory, this is going to be very easy for you. And it is considered the perpetual favorite among geek list posters. It's a memory game. Instead of colorful patterns or faces, any of the 1.5 million other things that have been used to reinvent the game.
Which boob did you grab? Yes, you remember which boob you grabbed.
This one, in particular, uses actual photos of women's boobs. And the task of the player is to match the appropriate pair. Very simple. It's a great party game. I mean, if you're
Super
Bowl player, this is great
in
for
in-person.
Between commercials.
Okay. This is a great game you can play while you're all drunk in a college dorm. It doesn't have to be a card game. It's like, hey, which boobs look the same? I mean, come on. What? You're like, hey, everyone, let's play Match the Boobies. I mean, just like what are you going to do? Like, have all the girls take off their shirts and mark little X's and squares on them? I mean, what?
That might be a great idea.
Okay, you know what? We're going to end this show on this very low note. That's wonderful. Oh, Kat, what have you learned this week? Oh, my gosh. I have learned that Scott is a very passionate man, and he deserves all the credit and awesomeness that he deserves. Guys, please go check out Scott's Digital Tech Frontier and Pop Art Toys websites. They are amazing, and I would highly check them out. Kat, what about yourself?
I have learned that not all boobies are made the same. You have to match them up properly, and I would go ahead and do that with Booby Match.
Remember, guys, complaining will get you everywhere. It will. It really will. You still need a catchphrase for yourself. You know that, right?
No.
All right, guys. Tune in next week. Take care.